We're going to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, a very well-known story of the prodigal. I trust you'll follow along in your own Bible, Luke 15 and verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry."
Reading that wonderful story of the prodigal son leads us into our message today on God the Father and God the Son. And there is a wonderful relationship between the eternal God and the eternal Son. The Lord Jesus is the express image of the Father. He came into the world to reveal the Father. I sometimes like to use the illustration of a new neighbor moving into an estate next door. And you haven't seen anyone yet except the boy. And he will come out to play, and he will come out to put out the garbage, and you see the son only. And as you study and get to know the son, you know that in that home there is a father. And as the son bears the likeness and the very characteristics of the father, you can get to know the man of the house through his son. We get to know the eternal God through the Lord Jesus, who is the son of the father. And as we consider him and look unto him, we know the grace and the mercy that is in the heart of God. In this message today, you will learn what it is to discover the true God of grace, the Father who sent his Son into the world that we might not perish, but have everlasting life, simply by believing, by trusting in the Lord Jesus, we are saved. And so I invite you to stay tuned today. Listen in to the message. May the Lord speak to your heart, draw you to himself, and bless you abundantly.
We come in John 14 to one of the most familiar passages in the New Testament. And sometimes preachers are thrown off you don't need to preach familiar passages of the Bible. I was reminded yesterday evening reading a few of the table talk statements of Mr. Spurgeon that he exhorted young preachers to always preach the well-known passages, the familiar passages, and lead God's people into them that we might find the honey and the sweetness that is there for our souls. Now, over this passage we've read, you can simply write this statement: Christ is the answer. The Lord began with a statement of, ye believe in God, believe also in me. And in this secular world, there are many people that would be quite satisfied with you speaking about God. But when you speak about Jesus, the Son of God, well, that can cause offense. And that teaches us the mighty power that is in the name of Jesus. And there is in the world a hostility against that name, the name of Jesus, the Son of God. But the Lord calls us to put our faith in him, because Christ is indeed the answer. You want a ready-made heaven? Well, Christ is the answer, because he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. God never has and never will send his people to a place unprepared. When God created the Garden of Eden, he made it a garden suited for Adam and Eve. It was a wonderful place. It was a place of rest, refreshment, enjoyment continually. When God sent his people into the promised land, they were given a land where the wells were already dug, the cities were already built, the vineyards were already producing. It was a land truly of milk and honey. It was a land prepared. And when God calls us out of this world into eternity, for the Christian, we are called to a new world that is prepared, a new heaven and a new earth that will be completely prepared. And he will come himself to bring us into it. He will not send the angels only. Now, they will have a part in the reaping of the nations, the gathering of the nations, but the Lord will appear personally, in glory, in body, and he will come to receive us unto himself. Now, Thomas asked the leading question in this passage, how can we know the way? And of course, that was all important, because to the disciples thus far, the Lord ministered to them about many earthly things. But this idea that Jesus was leaving and going away from them and would prepare a place for them and they would come later, it was the obvious question: how can we know the way? And that question by Thomas in the verse 5 leads to the great anchor statement in verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And here is to us the wonderful simplicity of the gospel. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. And if you're wondering, can you have peace with God? Can you one day have fellowship and live with God? Here's the answer. Christ is the answer. And I can say this to boys and girls, to moms and dads, to the aged, to the youngest: Jesus is the answer to all the issues of your heart and of your life. Now, how can this be? Well, this verse 6 is like a map, and it opens up. And the more you look into it, the greater the scope of this map to our souls. And it shows you how to get from a state of sin and destruction to enter into that state of glory. And here's the map. And I want to invite you to look right into this wonderful text and truth, John 14, verse 6. If ever there is a text in the Bible to teach you that Christianity is not merely things or principles, but Christianity is a person, here it is. Jesus said, "I am the way." Now, as we dig into this, we will learn a few things. Firstly, this text addresses the distance between man and God. And I hope you understand this, that there is a great gulf separating a sinner, a soul in this world without a Savior, and the God of heaven. Now, before sin entered the world, Adam enjoyed a threefold privilege in relation to God. First of all, he had a way of communion with his Maker. That was the way. He had the truth of his Maker. He knew God. And thirdly, he had life in his soul to worship God. And that was wonderful. But the fall, that sin that came in, the curse that was upon the ground and upon human nature, all of these things were lost. Man had shut out. God put the cherubims outside the Garden of Eden with flaming swords to secure that garden and to keep man out from the presence of God because of his sin. And there was no way back. That's the tragedy of sin. That's the tragedy of man in this world. There was, without grace and without the gospel, no way back. And false religion is always those sham attempts to find a way back to God, to find a way to recover human nature from its lost, cursed condition. But there is only one way. And Jesus said it himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, many religionists speak about being on the journey of faith to find peace with God. And they talk about many ways of finding that, a ladder to heaven, a way back into the presence of God. But every one of them are bankrupt. There is but one way. And of course, this is the way that God has designed when he sent his own Son. Do you get that? There is no other way back to the heart of God but through the Son. Jesus is the ladder to heaven. Jesus is the one who bridges the gulf between man and God. He is the mediator between God and men. And if you today recognize that by your sin nature, there is a great gulf, a great distance, great chasm between you and God, I have good news. And of course, the gospel is good news. We're to go into all the world and preach this good news of the gospel. There is a way back to God. Did you get that?
Amen.
There is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And it is at the cross of Calvary where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. And of course, you're invited. You're invited. "Come unto me," Jesus says. These texts are his invitations to you. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." But if you do come by me, you're in. You're saved. You are brought into new fellowship with God. Now, another thing, this text addresses the darkness between man and God. And I'm addressing here the truth that is mentioned. I am the truth. It was Pilate who asked, "What is truth?" And ever since that fall in the Garden of Eden with Adam, there has been this loss of truth. Man is ignorant. Man is in the dark. And he does not know God. He has no longer the spiritual capability of working out who God is. Now, in his attempts, he becomes an idolater. John Calvin said that man's heart is a veritable factory of idolatry. And you look at the races, the peoples of this world, and what have they done? In their cultures, in their lives, they have turned gods of stone, wood, animals, men, into their deity. And they know not the true God. And here is the Lord Jesus announcing, I am the way, the truth, the truth. Now, is there such a thing as absolute truth? That is hotly debated in the philosophical circles of this world, where everything is left open-ended. Truth to you is not truth to another. And there is no conclusion. It is men ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And so it leaves everything under a cloud. But here the Lord is saying that you can know absolute truth, and that you and I are not the result of endless evolving forces by the powers of chance that we have come into being. That is not true, because in this world you have design, and you have a designer. By the way, I just learned this week of the passing of Mr. Whitcomb. He was age 95. He co-authored with Henry Morris the outstanding book, The Genesis Flood. And he set himself to be a defender of creation in a world where evolution was ever advancing, the notions of it. And he set himself to defend biblical creation and the young earth truth of this world. And he is a tremendous loss to this world. But the work that he has done has been outstanding. And of course, this is the great battle, that there is truth. There are things you can know with absolute certainty. And in this world, there are fixed laws of creation, and only a fool will try to abandon them, like the law of gravity. You can't step off a 10-floor skyscraper and neglect the law of gravity. It works every time. The law of thermodynamics, the law of entropy, the law of what goes up must come down. That's a way, an easy way of putting it. These are things that are fixed in the world. And who stated and set those fixed laws in place? The creator, the designer of this world. Now, because of Adam, we are in the dark. Man's eyes have been put out. If you turn with me to Ephesians 4, you will see the awful damage that sin has done in the hearts and minds of men. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And so when you see the university professor, the PhD that is not a Christian, following the darkness of his own mind, you can realize that he is lost. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And so reason to these people is no longer sufficient. You can set before them the facts, the evidence, but their mind is darkened. They cannot interpret the facts. And that natural revelation is insufficient to convince them. And so God has given us the Bible. And in this word, we have the inerrant, infallible word of God. It is the written word. But also, God has given us his Son, who is the living word. And Jesus is the revelation of the Father. Now, Jesus could say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And if you look at verse 7 here, you'll see that's exactly what he said to Philip. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Here, God sent his Son to be the express image of the Father, that you and I would know him and know God and know truth. That is the wonder of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have a little short quote here by Arthur W. Pink. I hope it helps you. The true knowledge of God cannot be obtained but by the true knowledge of the Son. And if the Son be really known, then the Father will also be known. The Father is known just so far as the Son is known, no farther. And so I must introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ if you are to know the Father. You must come to know him, not only with historical knowledge, but with the eye of faith. You must be able to embrace him as the living revelation of the Father to your soul, that you might be saved to know the truth as it is in God. Now, all of this adds up because Jesus said in John 8:12 that he was the light of the world. What a great truth. He truly is the light of the world. And what a gift this truth is from God in the person of Christ. What a gift is our Lord Jesus. Now, as a Christian, every day of your life, you will say, Father, thank you for giving me your Son. Every day. In fact, that's how we ought to pray. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and we thank the Father for revealing himself through his Son. Are you doing that? Is that a summary of your Christian life? Or are you just sitting on the fringe somewhere, an observer of these things? You are impressed to some degree. You would even stand up for John 14:6 and say, that is the word of God. But if it has not brought you to your knees to say, Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, that I may know the true and living God, then you're not a Christian. You're not saved. All of this is just over the head or a little surface in your mind, but really you're walking without the light of the Son in your life. And so therefore I must introduce you to the Lord Jesus. I must beg you to come and know him. Accept him as your Savior. I do so now. Accept him. I would say, at after this meeting, would you please come and talk to me and let me introduce you to the Son of God? Because you'll never be right with God. You will never know God unless you know the Son.
Oh, Christ in me, my soul hath found.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Now, I keep preaching the Lord Jesus. I keep preaching that He is the way to the Father. And I tell the story over and over of God working in the world through His Son. God sent His Son into the world. He took a human body. He went all the way to the cross. And it is through that Lord Jesus, the only Son of God, by whom we are saved. There is life in no other. There is a purpose and a plan of salvation in no other. Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. And I plead with you today to give your heart to the Lord Jesus. Just bow the knee and plead in prayer the grace, the mercy of the Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart, to your life, to save your soul. And if I can be of personal help, be sure to give me an email or a call. I look forward to hearing from you. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.